Pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way here today. Just let these words that I share here today be your words, Father, and not mine. I ask you to just move and flow amongst your people. And Lord, I ask you that as this word goes out over the internet, that it would just touch hearts and encourage hearts. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for there's no one more worthy of it than you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, last week I spoke to you about who do you say I am? You know, and you know, that's a great question. And I think sometimes we need to know who we say he is, and then we also need to know who I am, who you are individually. Okay? And you know, I was looking at some scriptures this morning, and I'm going to share this with you. In Exodus 3:11-15, it says, "And Moses said unto God of Elijah, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee," or with you, if you want to put it in more modern English, "and this shall be the token unto you that I have sent thee," or "have sent you." That's his token. And you know, when God sends you, it don't matter what the situation or what the circumstance is, because he's bigger than the situation and he's bigger than the circumstance. And anytime he sends you, just make sure that you go, because that's all the token that you need, is that he's sent you. In Romans 10:15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" This is part of what we were talking about back there. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, you know, I shared back there, I think I was about 15 when the Lord began to show me the call on my life. You know, I didn't accept it when he told me that, which is, when God tells you something, it's better if you accept it when he tells you. But I didn't totally accept it then. And I thought, well, that's not me. I can't do that, you know. And I'd had a visitation of the Lord, and he showed me standing behind a pulpit. You know, I was about 15 years old. Well, I didn't even get saved until I was 21. So for 6 years, I ignored that vision that he gave me and that visitation that he gave me. And you know what? A lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves that's unnecessary pressure. You know, I came into Sunday school at the old church years and years ago, and God had already been dealing with me for months before I ever came to church and got baptized or anything. Got saved at home, and you know, I just got an insatiable hunger to get into the Word of God, and I spent a lot of time just reading the Word of God or reading the Bible. And I'm gonna call it the Word of God because, you know, the Bible, this Bible here is a dead letter unless God makes it alive to you. It's just a letter. But I tell you what, when he makes it alive to you, it becomes way more than a dead letter. It becomes a living word inside of you. And I got that insatiable hunger to read the Bible. And when I got that hunger, I would sit for hours, I mean hours, and just read the Bible. And I'd stick my finger in wherever I stopped reading, and I'd close the Bible. And I'd sit there and I'd pray and I'd say, "Lord, I don't know what in the world I just read." I would. And I'd say, "You have to teach me. You have to lead me and you have to guide me. Because I just don't, I mean, you know, it was a nice story, what I was reading. But I didn't know what it was all about." And I would just sit there and just close my eyes and sometimes just sit there for another 30, 40 minutes, however long it was sometimes. And, you know, just sit there. And I didn't know that I was doing some of the principles of the things of God, because I didn't know that much about it. I mean, my mother was a Christian, but she had to support four kids, you know, and she worked all the way on the other side of town, and she had to catch buses, you know, like transfer to get to her job. She had to go out real early in the morning. She wouldn't get home till about, I don't know, maybe 6 o'clock at night or so. And when she got home, you know, she'd usually cook supper, and you know, then she would. She had to do wash. She had to do a lot of things, you know, that a mother does. And I tell you what, I don't know how mothers do all the stuff they have to do sometimes. It's just, it amazes me. I know Margaret's like the Energizer Bunny sometimes. I can't slow that girl down. And she was feeling bad yesterday, and next thing I knew, I didn't know what she was doing, and I looked around, and I thought, what are you doing in there? She was in the bathroom. She had a ladder in there. She's climbing up. She was taking down the vent and cleaning the vent and doing all kinds. And, I mean, she was feeling bad, but you can't keep that girl down. I told her, I said, honey, you need to rest if you're feeling bad so you get to feeling better. Well, things don't get done if you do that, she said. I said, well, it don't have to be done right now. It can be done later, you know. But anyway, and I appreciate her because, you know, she's a go-getter. She'll do things. She gets mad at me sometimes because I move a little slower than she does. But that's okay. You know, I love her, and sometimes she has a reason to be mad at me when I don't do something, and other times she doesn't, you know. But, you know, we're just normal folks, just like the rest of y'all. But, you know, the neat thing about it is that I spent that time just sitting before the Lord. And I didn't really realize that he was pouring all the things in me that he was pouring in me. Because he was pouring a lot in me, and I tell you, he was. And I didn't have nobody teaching me. I didn't have nobody, you know, telling me what was what or explaining things to me. But God was putting it inside of me. And when I finally did come to church, my mother finally found out that I had given my life to the Lord. She says, well, you ought to think about getting baptized. Well, I'd already read scriptures about baptism, you know, and I'd read the book of Acts, and I'd read in the Gospels where it said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you know. And also in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you know. And I also had seen in the book of Acts where it said, after the day of Pentecost, you know, when Peter spoke to him, he said, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, buddy, when I read that, I liked that you shall part. You know, so, you know, when I came to get baptized, and I talked to Brother Eddie after I came out there, he asked me if I knew any of the scriptures on baptism, and I said, yeah, I said, I know some of them. And he said, well, how would you want to get baptized? And I said, well, I would like to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, because that's a promise. And he said, that's the way I like to do it. I said, well, that's good. I said, well, that's the way I want to do it. I said, that's how I felt like I wanted to do it. Not that there's anything wrong with being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Other than those are titles. And when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're baptized into his name, his nature, his character. That's the baptism you're receiving there. The other way is fine. God honors that. He gives people the Holy Spirit through the other way too. But that wasn't the way I wanted to do it. So anyway, what I'm saying there is that, you know, I went into a Sunday school class, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening. After I'd been there a couple of times, I think Sister Audrey or somebody said, why don't you come in the youth Sunday school class? And it was like the teenagers and stuff like that. And I went in there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to them and stuff and listening to the things being said. And I was kind of a backward person. I didn't like to speak up. You know, I was pretty backward. I mean, I'd had epilepsy when I was a kid. I didn't like to get in front of groups. Didn't like to be in large things. Didn't like to eat in restaurants because I'd had seizures in public before and stuff. So, you know, going into a group and speaking up was not my big thing. You know, that wasn't me. I didn't really want to do that. So anyway, I'm sitting there and things were being said. And I felt like I was going to absolutely bust if I didn't say something. I mean, the Holy Spirit was stirring up inside. And I made a few statements and I said a few things, you know. And, you know, after the class was over with, somebody came to me and says, "You ought to be teaching this class." Well, you know, I was still a young, very young Christian, you know. And I thought, well, you know, God had given me that vision and that calling. And I wrestled with that for a long time. And then finally I said, well, okay, I'll do that. And I did it. And I felt like I did a miserable job. And that's one thing where you need to be careful with young Christians when you deal with them. Don't push them out into things too fast. Because what happens is if they feel like they fall short in it, a lot of times what they'll do is that'll make them draw back and say, well, maybe I'm really not supposed to do this at all, you know. And after a while, I quit teaching that Sunday school class, you know. And anyway, what was happening there is God was pouring things into me. It wasn't time for me to pour things out yet. So as I went along, you know, I learned to wait on the Lord. And what he was teaching me when I'd sit there after I'd read the scriptures, he was teaching me that scripture that says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And you know, he sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And you know, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. You know, you don't need a teacher per se, you know what I mean, to sit you down and teach you. But what you do need is to hear from God. And he uses teachers and he uses preachers to speak to you. But if they weren't around, he can speak all of those things to you individually, you know, and he does sometimes. And sometimes he doesn't. But a lot of times what he will use a preacher or a teacher or somebody like that for is to confirm his word that he's already been dealing with you about. And that's one thing I will tell you concerning myself. Anything that I say to you anytime, I'm going to never tell you to put it on the shelf. I mean, Brother Eddie used to say that a lot, and that was okay, and that's what he felt like he should say. I'm never going to tell you to put it on the shelf. What I'm going to tell you is that if you don't hear it or you don't receive it, let it go. Because God said, "My word never returns void." So even if you don't get it then, it went down inside of you, whether you know it or not, if it was his word. And when the time is right, it will come back up to the surface. And anyway, I just want you to know that this thing doesn't depend so much on you. But I like what Moses said there. He said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And you know, and God said unto him, "Certainly." And you know, when God tells you certainly, that's certain. God speaks certainly to you. It's going to happen. He said, "Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be the token unto thee that I have sent thee." Now, sometimes God will give you a vision of what he wants you to do, but it's not always the time right then for you to do it. There's a real balance there. Now, if God gives you a word for somebody else, don't hold it back. Go give it to him. Because if he gave you a word for somebody, go tell him that word. And then leave it alone and let it do whatever it's supposed to do. But sometimes when God speaks a word to you, sometimes there's a time element. And there was a time element with me. And, you know, I was about 21 when I got saved. I think the first time that I actually spoke from the pulpit, now I did teach some Sunday school later on, you know, and it was different. After I tried it the first time, I felt like I sort of miserably failed at it. But I really didn't, you know. And anyway, I had times when I was sitting in Brother Shepherd's Sunday school class, and I was on a Wednesday night, I was at church, and I had just been telling the Lord, you know, that whenever he opened a door, I would step through it. But I also had told him, I'm not going to beat down any doors. I'm not going to try to jump through no doors. You have to open them. And it wasn't that I was seeking for a door to be opened. I just, you know, a lot of times Christians will have a tendency that they'll try to push people to get them out doing things. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's the biggest mistake you can make, because they're not ready to do that. And they need to gain some knowledge in the Lord and gain some understanding in the Lord before they go out and start talking to people. Now, the one thing that you always can do is share your testimony, what God has done for you personally. That's the most important thing you can share with anybody. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you all that because, you know, sometimes we have a tendency that we try to push young people out and get them doing stuff. Well, they don't need to be doing anything until God's ready for them to do something, you know. If he's got a call on your life, he'll position times when it's ready for that call to come forth. But you do have to be obedient when it does. I had prayed that and said, Lord, I'll walk through the door when you open it. And this was like early in the week, and I went to a Wednesday night service. Brother Eddie was there, and Brother Shepherd was there, and Brother Shepherd did the adult Sunday school class. And out of the blue, he looked over at me and said, I'm not going to be here Sunday, Oscar. Would you take the adult Sunday school class? And I'm sitting there thinking, I can't get up and share like this guy can. I thought, man, I don't know if I want to do that or not, you know. But, you know, it was like the Lord said, spoke to me on the inside and said, didn't you tell me when I opened the door you'd step through it? So I said, well, okay, I'll do it. Well, it went okay. I mean, it was fine, you know. I didn't feel like I did the greatest job in the world, but it was just fine. But you know what? That was something where God used him to open the door. He was obedient in asking me. There was other people sitting around there that he could have asked, elders and things like that, in that Wednesday night service, older guys that had been around a long time. But he felt like he was supposed to ask me, and he was obedient. And that was the beginning of me starting to share, you know. And then the next thing you know, after a while, I was the backup Sunday school teacher for a long time. And, you know, I did it for years. I did it for Kenny Pearson some. I did it for Carl, for Carl, Brother Carl. Whenever he couldn't make it or something, I would take the class if he asked me to do it. I never did it without him asking me. And, you know, when they changed Sunday school superintendents, and when they changed Sunday school superintendents, when Carl was getting ready to retire, he had come and said something to me about, Oscar, maybe you ought to just take this class. And I said, well, I said, Carl, I said, that would have to be the Sunday school superintendent that would have to come to me and ask me to do that, because they were over that, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I know how to yield to authority, and I know how to use authority when I'm supposed to use it. And anyway, so Carl ended up retiring, and he felt like he didn't want to teach Sunday school all the time. I get a call after a week or two, and it was the Sunday school superintendent. And here's what this person said to me. They said, Brother Oscar, And I had been being the backup Sunday school teacher for years, okay? But here's what they said to me. They said, "Brother Oscar, would you be willing to take the Sunday school class? I've asked everybody else and they all said no." Now, you talk about getting a pin stuck in you. That's what it felt like. And my first inclination when they said that was, I didn't say anything, but I'm just sitting there, and I have to be honest with you. My first inclination was, my God, I've been doing this backup Sunday school teaching for years. And I was the last person you asked. You ask everybody else. That's where you get your feelings, see. And I said, well, let me pray about it, and I'll get back with you. Because if I'd have said what I felt like saying right then, I'd said, no, sorry, you know. If I was your last choice, then I don't want to do it, you know. But that was the way I felt at that point. But I went and I prayed about it, and I was kind of whining before the Lord a little bit. And I said, well, Lord, I said, you know, I was the last person to ask. They asked everybody else first. And you know what he said? Why do you think I had them all turn it down? And I thought, well, I mean, you can't argue with God, you know. So I told her, I said, yeah, I'd be willing to take the Sunday school class if Carl's going to give it up, you know. And he'd already given it up to her. Well, then a few years down the road, we get a different Sunday school superintendent. And this was one of the elders, and he came to me and he said, I'm the new Sunday school superintendent. And I said, I just want to tell you, brother, if you want to have somebody else teach this adult Sunday school class, I said, that's fine with me. Do whatever you feel like the Lord tells you to do. He said to me, he says, Oscar, he says, I can't believe you said that to me. I said, well, why wouldn't I say that to you? I said, you're the Sunday school superintendent. And he hadn't been an elder as long as I had or anything like that at that point. And he was one of the younger elders. And he said, I just can't believe that you'd say that to me. He said, because, you know, you're a very good teacher and all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, I said, no. I said, I know how to yield to authority. And I said, God put you in a position of authority. And if you felt that somebody else should do it, then I would have just stepped aside, you know. And anyway, he said, no, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. I said, well, okay, that's fine. I said, but I just wanted you to know that, you know, it was okay with me if you wanted to change. I mean, you know, you didn't have to feel like you had to keep me there because I was already there. But I just want to tell you, when God sends you, he opens the door. And the next scripture I got here is Romans 10:15. It says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, the one problem that I have sometimes with a lot of preachers, and I will say this, I do have a problem with some preachers. They're not giving you the glad tidings. They're giving you gloom, doom, and a lot of other things. And the word gospel means good news. Now, when you turn on the TV at night and the 6 o'clock evening news, what do you hear? Usually bad news, almost all bad news. Once in a while, they'll throw in a good news story. Once in a while. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the gospel, that ain't the way it should be. It should be the good news. It should be what Jesus has done for you, what he, right now. Yeah, that's right. And what he's already accomplished and everything like that. And a lot of people, Brother Eddie used to say, when you preach that way, he said, people call it greasy grace. Well, you can call it whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you this, it's the good news. And if it's greasy, that's fine. I like a little greasy stuff once in a while. If it slides you right on into the kingdom, that's a great thing. You know. My next scripture is here is Romans 10:17. It says then, though, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that's part of what we had back here in Sunday school, too. It says, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, this is going back to that other portion of scripture in Exodus, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come out unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say? Basically. And he said, I am that I am. Tell them that I've sent you. Now, I love, Brother Shepherd used to say a lot of times when he would talk about the I am. I am is a present tense now word. You know, I am standing right here behind this pulpit right now. You could say, I am sitting in that seat. You know, it's right now. It's happening right now. And he's the God of right now. He's not the God of yesterday, although he was there yesterday. He's not the God of tomorrow, which a lot of people make him the God of tomorrow. He's the God of right now. I am that I am. That's why he says up in Hebrews, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And he says, like Israel did, they did, and they didn't enter in because of unbelief. They could have entered into the promised land way before they ever did, had they had faith stirred in them and believed what God said. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. I believe I've heard people say that the actual traveling time from Egypt to Israel, even walking, was only so many days long. You could have done it in days times. You know, it might have been, I don't remember how long, but it could have been 20 or 30 days or whatever it would have been. But they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. And the reason I think he let them wander around in Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, he had brought them out of Egypt. And then it took him 40 years to get the Egypt out of them. Now, that's not always fun, but sometimes we wonder why sometimes when God's given us visions of things he wants us to do or callings or whatever, and we think, well, Lord, how long? You know, how long will it be before all this happens? It'll happen exactly when God wants it to happen. It'll happen right when you're ready for it to happen, when he knows you're ready for it to happen, you know? You know, and he said here, he said, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Yes. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And then when I was a child, I thought about the phrase from the Bible, I am that I am. And it sounded funny. You know, that's kind of a funny sounding thing. I am that I am. Reminds you of Popeye. You know, the cartoon Popeye. He used to say almost the same thing. But Popeye had some pretty strong powers when he ate that spinach. But God don't have to eat no spinach. He's got them strong powers all the time. And he said, you know, I am that I am sounded funny. And so I thought perhaps it was improper English, or at the very least something that had been lost in the translation. And really the translation of I am that I am, a little bit of it could be, I will be what I will be. And that means that he will be whatever is necessary in whatever situation you get in. I will be whatever I will be. And he will always be the exact right thing in the exact right situation. He said, but as the years had gone by, I found out the phrase compasses the many facets of God, and it becomes a reminder to me that whatsoever I need, He is. And it says, in a personal experience in my life, I'd been sick and I needed a healer. And he said, I am. I needed refuge from life's storms. And he said, I am. When I needed hope, he said, I am. I was lost and I needed a Savior. And he said, I am. Present tense now. I'm right there. You know, whenever that need or whatever the situation, I found him to be the answer. Anything I need, he is the I am. I am is God's name in man. The indwelling Christ, the true spiritual man, whom God made in his image and likeness, the outer man is a small I am. You know, when we say I am something, that's not always what God is inside of us. That's us sometimes pushing our fleshly nature out there in front of God. But I'm going to tell you what, the inner spiritual man is the great I am. And when that great I am inside of you speaks to you to do something or whatever he says to you, he is the I am in that situation. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? By submission to the great I am, we link ourselves with conscious union with the Father, with the Spirit, with the abiding life, wisdom, love, peace, substance, strength, power, truth. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And it definitely is. You know, they asked Jesus one time, they said, Lord, what will be the signs of the times of your coming? And he told them some of the things. And then he said, but the kingdom doesn't come with observation. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. And I just want you to know, it's not some distant place far off. Like that poem I read you about the windows of gold. I love that poem. My God, that poem has so many truths in it. It just blew me away when I read it. And God ministered it to me for me to understand it, where that person would see those beautiful windows down in the valley, you know, with God's light just glowing off of them, golden windows. And they decided to make that trek, and it was a hard, long trek all the way down into the valley. And they made that big, long trek down into the valley. And when they got down there, the windows of gold were gone. And all of a sudden, they said, oh, you know, where's the windows of gold? What happened? And then a voice spoke and said, hi, behold, high on the mountain are the windows of gold. Right where he had come from. And the sun going down in a great burnished ball lit his windows, his cabin so small. And the gist of it was, this, your search for God will end and begin when you search for him and you find him within. What a truth. What a truth. My God, that's what everybody needs to be preaching out there. He's not a distant God. He's not off in Mars somewhere. He's omnipresent. His Spirit is everywhere. But his Spirit also dwells inside of you. And if you'll acknowledge that Spirit, you know, he is the great I am in any situation, any circumstance, under any conditions. There's no conditions too hard for God. You know, we were talking about Moses before. You know, when God told Moses to get up and get out and take the people with him, he got up and went out. And where did he end up? The army on one side, the Red Sea on another side, trapped. And sometimes you find yourself in situations where you think, oh my God, what do I do now? Where do I go to from here? But that's when you really need to go within and begin to acknowledge the I am that's within you. And know that I am within you will make a way where there is no way. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And just like when Moses came up to that water and all, and you know those people were grumbling and complaining, buddy. they were giving him a hard time. They weren't just saying, well, bless God, Moses, I'm glad you got us in this situation. You know what they were saying? What in the world did you do to us? Where are you trying to kill us all? You know, fussing and carrying on. And when you find somebody fussing and carrying on at you because they're in a bad situation, and yet you're doing what you know God's telling you to do, hang in there. The I am in you, it will take you through it. And he'll make a way where there is no way. And you know, all of a sudden, Moses lifted up his staff, and boy, that water parted. And when that water parted, they started across through there. And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't an unscary travel. You start walking across some place where there's a lot of water, and there's water on this side and water on this side, and you know, there's only one way, and that's straight ahead. Because if you go back, the Egyptians are going to get you for sure. But yet, they persevered on, and they traveled across through there, and they made it to the other side. And we know that when they made it to the other side, God let the water come down. And he killed their enemies, you know. But I tell you what, that should have been enough right there to have made them people say, well, bless God, I know he's my source. I know he's my way. I don't have to worry about a thing. He's going to take care of me no matter what. No matter what situation comes, if he can part that Red Sea like that, I don't have to worry about a thing. And you know what? That's where they should have been. But that ain't where they were. Every time some little hardship would rise up, well, bless God, you got us out here in the desert. There's no water. There's no meat. We're eating this old manna, this old good sweet tasting stuff. That's what it was like. As they said, it had this, it was like a small little thing, and they said it had a real sweet taste to it. And you know, when God gives you the food from heaven, it's sweet. But I tell you what, even sometimes people start taking that for granted. And what did they say? Well, we'd like to go back to the leeks and the garlics and go back to the where there was meat, you know, and all this and that. And let me tell you what, even Christian folks, a lot of times, they want to go back, give me that old-time religion. I got news for you. The old-time religion is just that. It was wonderful in its day. It's old time. Keep moving forward with God. Let him take you on. Don't grumble and complain, because what will happen if you grumble and complain? He gave them meat. He had birds fly in there, I guess by the millions. It would have had to been millions and millions of them. It would have been sort of like Alfred Hitchcock's movie where the birds flew in, you know. Because he gave them meat. He said, I'll give you meat till it runs out of your nostrils. I'll give you meat till you're sick of it. And that's exactly what he did. What happened? You think, well, bless God. After God did all that, now they'd be okay. No, they weren't okay. They weren't okay. Every time you turn around, it was something else, something else, something else. And I got news for you. Either we're going to trust him, or we're going to move forward with him no matter what. You know, coming in here on a Sunday and there only being a few people here, that's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing for any of us. We would like to all like to see this place full of people. But you know what? Right now, God's chosen not for it not to be so. And that's okay. If this word wasn't going out on the internet, and I knew that God can do wonderful things out there that we'll never see or even know about. You know, his word never returns void. And if he uses the small group here to get his word out there, that's okay. You know, one of the words that I got years ago, a prophetic word, after I first got saved, was that God had called me to be a prophet unto the nations. Well, you know, I come in here and speak every Sunday morning. But this word goes out all around the world on the internet. All around the world. And we don't know who it touches, or who it encourages, or who it helps, or who it heals, or who it does whatever God intends for it to do. But we know he knows. And that's the beauty of any of you all. When you come in here, you share a testimony. When you get up here and you speak, or you speak in the Sunday school classes or any of that stuff, we're putting that stuff on the internet. And it's going out. It's going out. And whether or not we ever know the actual results of it on this side of the veil, I don't know if we will or not. But I tell you what, I know God will leave the 90 and 9 and go after the one. And he showed me that graphically one time. I got up and spoke one Sunday night, and I was supposed to speak. And I got up and I spoke, and I'd been speaking for a few years then, but not a real long time. Now I've been speaking for a lot of years, you know. I'm getting old, but hopefully getting my youth renewed like the Eagles. But anyway, I got up and I spoke, and I was looking out at people, and people were kind of, you know. I was thinking, are they even hearing what I'm saying? And I knew I felt God had given me that word to share. And, you know, and when I got done, because I was a little insecure, I said, I hope this has ministered to you, you know. You know what? I've tried to quit saying that. I find myself almost saying that sometimes to people. I've tried to quit saying that. Because if God's in it, there ain't no hoping it will happen at all. It's happening. It's ministered to you. Whether you know it or you don't, it's went down inside of you. But anyway, I came in the next Sunday, and this young teenage girl came up to me, and she said, and she was sitting there all the time I was speaking. She said, "Brother Oscar, I don't know if you know this or not." She said, "But that word you shared, it was just for me." She said, "I needed it. It was just for me." And it makes me almost cry, because I think you love the one enough to share a word that's going to go for just the one. I don't care if the other people heard it or didn't hear it. The one that was supposed to hear it, heard it. And that's what the Lord was letting me know. He was letting me know, son, when I give you something, it's going to hit its mark. I am the I am. It's going to minister I am to that person. And that's the same with any of you. If he has you share a testimony at your work or with your friends or whatever, and you feel God's telling you to do that, do it. Be obedient. And even if they seem to reject it, don't worry about that. Because a lot of times, somebody will think they're rejecting something, and really they're not. Because that word will get down inside of them, and it'll churn, and it'll churn, and it'll churn, and it'll do something. But praise the Lord. Praise God. He's the great I am. I'm going to share one more scripture with you, and I'm going to close with this. John 8, 54 through 58. This is the Gospel of John. Jesus answered and said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. But if my Father that honoreth me, whom you say is your God, yet you have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am." Praise God. That's all I had to share with you today. Any situation, any circumstance you get in, any trouble you have, anything that happens, he is the great I am. And he is able. Yes. Sure. Let me come down there so it'll be on here so we don't lose it.
We listen to a lot of music because Mark loves music, but we listen to a lot of Christian radio. And Toby Mac has a song. It's called Help Is On The Way.
Yeah, I love that song.
And I heard his testimony this week in the car about it. They lost their oldest son, died of a drug overdose right before COVID hit. And he said he was in the largest valley of his life because they had lost their son. And then COVID hit, and he said everything just felt like it was melting away. Anyway, he said he started reading the Bible, and he said he read a verse in Psalms. I had it, but now I don't have it anymore on my phone. But I wanted to read you this song that he wrote because he said it was about God rolling up his sleeves and helping. So it says, it may be midnight or midday, never early, never late. He's going to stand by what he claims. I lived enough life to say, I heard your heart, I see your pain, out in the dark, out in the rain. Feel so all alone, feel so afraid. I heard you pray in Jesus' name. It may be midnight or midday, it's never early, never late. He's going to stand by what he claims. I've lived enough life to say, help is on the way. Round in the corner, help is on the way. Coming for you, help is on the way, yeah, yeah. I've lived enough life to say, help is on the way. Sometimes it's days, sometimes it's years. Sometimes face a lifetime of falling tears. But he's in the darkness, he's in the cold, just like the morning. He always shows. It may be midnight or midday, it's never early, never late. He's going to stand by what he claims. I've lived enough life to say, help is on the way. Round in the corner, help is on the way, coming for you. Help is on the way, yeah, yeah. I've lived enough life to say, help is on the way. Well, I've seen my share of troubles, but the Lord ain't failed me yet. So I'm holding on to the promise, y'all, that he's rolling up his sleeves again. Said, I've seen my share of troubles, but the Lord ain't failed me yet. We'll keep holding on to the promise, y'all, that he's rolling up his sleeves again. You don't know it, rolling up his sleeves again. I can see him rolling, rolling, rolling up. Help is coming, rolling up his sleeves again. It may be midnight or midday, he's never early or never late. He's going to stand by what he claims. I've lived enough life to say, it may be midnight or midday, it's never early, never late. He's going to stand by what he claims. I've lived enough life to say, help is on the way. Help is on the way, round in the corner, help is on the way.
That's a great song, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord, that's very good. Anybody else have anything to say? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, I will close in a word of prayer then. And, you know, we have to realize that no matter what's happening, he's promised he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He's with us always, even unto the end of the age. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And he is the source of it all. Excuse me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I ask you, Father, to just let this word minister to those that need that hear it, that would just encourage their hearts. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.